Thank you for joining me for another episode of Raising Playful Tots. I'm glad that you could stop by today. My name is Melitza. Welcome to the Play Space. It's here that we focus on play that we want to see and experience in our homes. We cover play-related topics to inspire, teach, challenge, and lead us to have a great time with these kids, and also so that we can introduce a new play idea. If you're new to the show, welcome. It's good to have you. And hi to the regular playmates. Plenty of room, so come join us as we paint our feet. Yes, we have a ladybug and a bumblebee for spring. Thanks to a lovely idea. You've got to see these from erin-specialeducation.blogspot.co.uk. I'll leave a link for these in the show notes. They're well worth a look. Well, hello, and I hope that you are having a fine week with your little one. Today the topic is after-school activities for mums in many places. So here goes. After preschool, after work, end of the day we have our little ones back. Back from school, back from nursery, back from the babysitter, back from the creche, wherever, maybe back from our mum. They've done all kinds of awesomeness over there, and now it's our time. Well, today's episode is for the mum who has one-on-one time with their little one, and they're plumb out of ideas about what to do today. I'm going to look at three areas that we all find ourselves in from time to time, and certainly if you haven't found yourself in this area yet, it's probably to come. We're going to look at mums with siblings stuck at clubs, mums in from work and want a pick up and do it now activity, and mums who've never really organised activities. So let's get stuck in and look at the first area, mums with siblings stuck at clubs. So if you have a school aged child, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about here. When we went to swimming class, my two oldest would swim for about 30 minutes. It would take 15 minutes extra for all of the in and the out, the showering, the changing, the going back and collecting what we'd forgotten, usually goggles or a hat. Here I was with a little guy up on the seats, warm because it's a swimming pool, an indoor swimming pool, with all the other families. We had about 25 minutes because we had to come up onto our perch in the sky to watch the boys swim and go down to meet them and find them in the changing room. With one class starting, as one class ends, it's really hard to get a decent sized cubicle. There's always a premium and everybody always wants the big cubicles, right? Well, when there's four of us, we want one that's big enough that will let the wet people get changed without soaking us dry people, and where the door isn't too high that the little one can expertly and quietly escape from one cubicle into the next cubicle or just wander off. The key is to get there early enough so that you can do that. So what do you do with your little one in this situation where you're in and out, up and down, there's a lot of standing around and waiting, and you have a little one? I'm sure this story is familiar to you. Even if it's not the swimming story, it could be judo, it could be tennis, it could be taekwondo. It's any of these after-school club type activities that you find yourself doing with your school-aged children. Well, here's three things that will make this time easier. Their own bag to carry everything, although we might carry that bag as well, but having their own bag, the dollar store, pound store, or discount places, and art materials and paper. So let's look at those three things that can make things easier. Well, their own bag. Don't overfill this bag, this special bag for them. One of our favorite bags, it's gone to the bag place in the sky now, was a backpack that was completely clear. You could see whatever was inside of it. It was well used and well loved. The less you bring, the less you lose. So the less you have to clear up when you have to make a bolt for the ending. The bonus is your purse or your handbag doesn't become this huge bag full of all of their stuff. My kids used to always be dipping into my handbag and finding the cereal bar or the sweets that were mine. So it's lovely to think that they have their own little bag where they can have their own little things there. They can look after their own things, and it's also a really good way of getting them used to looking after their own stuff. Their pen, and better still, their pencil and sharpener. I say pencil and pencil sharpener, although I found it really tricky the other day when I went into my local shop to find some pencil sharpeners, that it's really tricky to find decent pencil sharpeners that don't just keep breaking the lead of the pencil. Or maybe it's just the pencils that we have now have been dropped so often that the lead is broken all the way through. But this activity in itself, having a pencil and a pencil sharpener, is so much fun with kids because they love making those little flower shapes that they have, and it's actually something that they can do when they're there waiting. Having a separate bag makes trips and errands really easy. In the bag is something only that you use when you have errands or are on that trip. I've talked about this many times of how really it's helped us as a family to be able to have a bag full of things that they can use that's only used when we go on trips and errands. It keeps by being special. Sometimes we have three bags because each of the boys have their own bag because everybody wants their own particular things. And that works out well because they actually swap amongst themselves and that keeps them going. But sometimes we combine it all into one bag and then they all share the carrying duties. But starting a habit when they're younger of having their own bag, whether you carry their bag full of stuff because it's too heavy and they're too small and they look like little turtles, or that they carry their own bag, it's a really good habit for them to get used to looking after their own stuff, but not overfilling it with lots and lots of things. The second thing is the dollar store, the pound shop, the discount stores. These are the stores where you go in and you can get a lot for a very small amount of money. Well, the dot to dots, the colouring books, the puzzles, these are the types of things that keep the kids engaged, and you don't have to worry about it when you leave it on the side of the pitch that you're upset because it was that Osborne book or that DK book that they love that actually costs a lot of money. These puzzles and colouring books and dot to dots from these types of stores are much easier to manage because they're usually thinner and they're smaller and easy to use and easy to share. You're able to pull out some of the pages and share them with other friends that you find that you're with. There are also lots of seasonal trinkets that you can find in the dollar store and the pound shop and all of these discount stores. And so that can't be overrated because kids love to pretend play and love to do activities. And so finding beads or seasonal stuff for spring or things for at Christmas time or Halloween or summer balloon type activities are a real bargain because you can get them at really good prices, and then they just brighten up the little bag when you have some of these types of things in there. But again, it's choosing wisely, making sure that we don't overwhelm us or them. You want to be able to make a quick and easy exit, and you don't want to feel that you are rounding up tons and tons of tiny little things to pop back in the bag as you're training and sharing with the kids how to manage their things, because that will become a chore in itself. The third thing I mentioned was art materials and paper. We tend to stick with 5 to 10 pencils. That's just fine. I mean, we don't count them. We just grab a few, but we don't want to grab the huge pile of pencils and all of the prize stock at home. We choose the pencils, the crayons, whichever it is that you're using, and we choose a small amount of them. Less is definitely more. Can you sense a theme that I'm talking about here? If your child is a wall drawer and loves to draw on the walls, then maybe you'll limit them to pencils and not markers. However, this might just be the perfect time to use markers because you are able to do this one-on-one together, supervised for maybe 10 minutes or so. So this might be the perfect time while you're out at a club to actually use the marker pens together and show them how to use them, especially those Sharpie pens, which all the kids love to be able to use. You'll be able to have some you time with the markers and with the Sharpie markers and your child. there are so many different combinations that you can bring that this never gets old. There's all the different types of art materials, the paper types that you can use, from envelopes to coloured paper and coloured card to construction paper to watercolouring paper, all sorts of things that you've got lurking in your bag. You've got notes and receipts and letters and all sorts of things that you can find. And not to mention the art materials that you can pop those into a little baggie or a pencil case where you switch those in and out every now and again. And again, this doesn't have to be a really big deal every time that you go out that you have to find something different. But it's if you think that it's getting a bit tired and boring and they've used it well and they're looking for a new challenge, then you might consider swapping out the pencil crayons for some normal crayons. Or you might think instead of all blue pencils that you will go for all the colors of the rainbow and they're the only colors that you'll have. It's kind of like you're setting mini challenges for them and for you to be able to see how they get on and how they enjoy it. And also, you know that whenever you have art materials and paper, you'll always be a good friend to other mums and other kids that are around, because kids are always attracted to being able to draw, write, create, and just do. Keeping everything portable is really important, and not carrying too much. I really can't stress that. Even though I'm giving lots of suggestions and lots of ideas, I don't want you to think that you must carry all of these things and you become little turtles with these huge backpacks full of stuff and full of things. Your children really love it when they have a few choices, but also that they can try with what they have. And I'm sure they will say that they're bored and they're fed up and they don't know what to do, but just give them a little time and they will find their way. That's often the way that happens. But I like to say, as a boundary to help me and to help them when they're packing their bags as they start to get older and are able to do this for themselves, I like to say to them, you know, when you're packing your bag, I want you to find something to do that you can do by yourself. So that might be a puzzle, it might be some writing, but it's something that they can do by themselves and they can decide what that is as they get older, and maybe you can support them with that. And something to do with someone. They need a little help, or you can't work without someone. So that's an activity that you might do with the other sibling that happens to be there while they're waiting for the third sibling, which is our situation. Or it could be something that you want to do with your child one-on-one, or it could be an activity that they will end up doing with a friend that they have at the club that they go to regularly. And the last thing that I like to have three things, is something to read. So it's something to do by myself, something to do with someone that they need a little help or can't work without someone, and something to read. So all of this makes for an easy pickup as you exit, because there's maybe three or four things that you are putting into your bag. It makes for an easy time because we can enjoy ourselves. We're able to watch the one child that's in the swimming or the taekwondo or whatever activity it is that they're doing. And we know that the child that we're with has activities that they want to do, activities that we can do with them, and a little independence to be able to move between the two. They don't have to do the activities. They can easily, you know, wander around and do other things, but you also know that they have things that are right there that will make sense for them to do. We have adapted this to fit our circumstances. So, you know, it's a very loose idea that we have. Sometimes we have a little bit more, sometimes we have a little bit less. It really depends on how long we're going and how much we want to put in a backpack. But keeping it small and simple usually is what worked well for us, because there's usually actually quite a few things that are around that you can use that you don't need to delve and dip into the backpack all the time. But it does take a little time and a little training for them and us to get used to this new system. If you're outside, it's even better, because the outdoor activities allow for even more freedom that you can use. The outdoor is a brilliant play pad, play world for the kids to be able to play in. But sometimes you need the ideas that are firmly within that bag. We also rotate new toys or new activities in from time to time to keep things fresh, and we try and look out for some of the seasonal things that are about. So to recap, for mums stuck in clubs with a little one, my top tips are: get their own bag to carry everywhere. You can get some really good sized bags for the little guys nowadays that's good for them to carry on their back, that has the proper backpacks without them being heavy. But if you are not keen on them having their own backpacks or their own bags to carry, then you can carry their bag with their things in. It's not going to be heavy because you're not going to have lots and lots of things in there. So yes, it doesn't mean that you'll have two bags, but you'll be able to keep your bag however you keep your bag, whether that's light or full, but they'll have their own bag with their own things in. The second thing we talked about was paying attention to the dollar store, the pound shop, whatever it's called where you live, the discount places. This is a really cool place to be in contact with. It's your friend. Stock up during the sales and add during the year as needed. Stockpile books and things like that so that you can add to it when you need to, but don't feel that you have to bring out something new each time, or that they can just blow through a whole book and want to go on to the next book. You get to decide how much you want them to use and how much you don't want them to use, and how much time they're spending sitting. You may feel that you want them to be standing and moving around and getting some of the ants in their pants out and moving about. So, you know, you get to choose what types of things that you bring in. There are all sorts of things that you can get in these places. So, you know, you check those out for yourself. And the third thing is art materials and paper. If you've ever checked out a stationery shop, you'll see, or even a toy shop, you'll see the art department is just full of a variety of different materials to write on for mark making, and different materials that you can use to make. Now, you'll probably have many, many, many of those different things at home already, and taking two or three of those each time you go out will make for a really interesting time trying to use them with the material. So that's a really fun way to reach out to other people, because you can share, and for the kids to be able to use these art materials and paper. Now let's move on to the second one. The first thing we looked at was mums that were stuck in clubs with a little one, and I gave you some ideas for that. Now I want to move on to mums in from work and want to pick up do it now activity. So they want a pick up, do it now activity. I know that this is the trickiest thing. We have high hopes for the activity after nursery, once they're home or we're home from work. We might have ordered things online or gone to get that last few items to make the activity work on the way home. We have high expectations. What we don't expect is the tiredness that comes as a wave over us from them, and the different direction we can feel our evening is being pulled in. It's hard, I know. We have such a short time with them when they're little, and that really feeds into our need to want to get lots of things done when we have them for that short amount of time when we get home. First, I would encourage us to breathe and let it go. We're already bringing tension and super high expectations in at that point. You are enough for your child right now, and you see that although you have a lovely activity plan, that they really just need a cuddle and a nap, or to run around in the garden. That's just fine. Too often we devalue these everyday activities. Let them help you unload the dishwasher or move the laundry from one machine to the baskets, or whatever it is, the configuration that you have at home. Consider if you can run around with them in the garden for 5 minutes. Every situation is different. It's hard for many families to have play they want, because between coming home and bedtime is very close. By now, the kids are dog tired and erring on the cranky side. A change of pace may just be the key here, with roughhousing, catch or more boisterous games to get the ants out of their pants, or maybe it's the other way around and they actually need calming activities like reading and conversation. It really depends on what they've been doing before and how they are now, and you know your kids. But starting a routine, that beginning bit when you come home, is crucial to setting the tone for the rest of the evening. Talking about it on the ride home together or the walk home and saying the first few things to really give them a clue as to what to do next, because kids are really forgetful, and once we share what we're doing, they're very good at remembering what to do. What should we do when we get home? Shall we read a book or shall we count some socks? As we both decide that together, we can share the first few things that we do when we get home. So we're already starting to have a conversation about what we fancy doing. We can start by using sentences like, when we get home, we put on our, and then whatever it is. Or when we get home, where do we put our shoes? Where do we put our coat? These questions start the idea of learning where things go and what things happen in and in what sequence. And also, as they get older, you can start asking the question, well, what next? What do we do next? Having them repeat that back and actually having an ongoing conversation, we can fill in the gaps to start with ourselves. But as this is done so often, they get used to it and they're able to fill in the points themselves. We'll still probably walk them to the place and help them put their coat up on their kid size peg and put their shoes away in the right place and, you know, go wash their hands if they're going to have a snack, etc. But they will learn to do this by themselves, but they'll need a little supporting to do that. And it seems like a really small thing, like, well, you know, they know what to do, they can do it. But many times we find that when the kids come home, they get really easily distracted, they don't put things in the right place, and from that point, things seem to go downhill because we're going behind them, picking up their coats and their shoes, starting to nag and whine and complain, why do you always leave your coat here, pick them up, your sister's playing, eating your shoes, stop doing that, and it can become really tricky. But if we just train them and teach them and share with them, from now, then they get to understand how these things go. When you have this little routine, it makes a little less time of being scattered when you come in, with everyone going in every which way, but it's purposeful. They know exactly where they're going and exactly what they're doing. Whatever the activity you choose to do, set a flexible expectation. I know you want it to be awesome. You've read it, you've looked at it, you've tried it, you've seen it, you have a picture in your mind how brilliant it's going to be. You're waiting to see the anticipation on their face because you think that they're going to absolutely love it. But spending time with them in this connection activity is just as valid. Just spending time with them. Not about the awesomeness of this amazing activity. As amazing as the activity could be, it's just setting that flexible expectation. Instead of playing, it might be that all they want to do is just draw. So just draw. Enjoy that you're together, having fun, colouring and playing together. So for the mum in from work or the child in from somewhere else, we need to adjust our expectations of what can be done. It's okay to reduce, change, and abandon activities. It doesn't mean that you're a bad mum. You've noticed something, and maybe you're able to work on changing this another time. Sometimes it's just a matter of us taking a breath and letting out the tension from our voice and our bodies, so the yelling doesn't start, or being pulled in enough that we don't lean too far the other way and be really permissive, because they can't take boundaries right now, and neither can we. We know that routines work, and having a routine on entering the house makes the next things more likely to happen. I get not everything and all the time that this will work, but it's more likely to work when you do it more often. Keep the activities reasonable. Connecting activities and time together doing contributions is the bread and butter of all families. starting now when they're littlies will be much better as they grow older, as they find that this is just how we do it in our family. It's much harder to get the kids involved when they're older. Much easier for them to grow knowing that this is just something that we do in our family. So we've looked at two things so far. Mums with siblings stuck at clubs. Mums in from work and want a pick it up, do it now activity. And let's look at the third area. Mums who've never really organised activities. I remember my first experiences when my big guy, who is 11 now, was a baby, and a friend asked us to watch her son while she ran a few errands. Sure, how hard can this be? He was 18 months or thereabouts, if I remember rightly, and he was into everything. I had out the soft toys, the foam mats with the letters on, you know, the alphabet letters, and the groups of toys, all in a big heap in the middle of the floor. My son wasn't walking or talking, and he loved rolling, reaching. Gosh, his hands were still fun to play with at this age. Very quickly, I could see that this dump of toys in the middle of the room really wasn't going to work. I had no idea what to do with my friend's son. I spent the whole time scooting behind him, picking up things he was getting into. I was a wreck because I was so anxious about things because I hadn't noticed things were in a place that he could get to. By the time his mummy came, I was worn out. And I didn't get to do any of the activities that I thought that we would have got to. I knew I'd handled it wrong. I figured because there were toys and activities that he'd just play. Somehow he would magically know what to do and he would just play. Well, he did play, but not in the way that I imagined. And looking back on that time, I wasn't prepared at all for an active 18-month-old. We had tile floors, and we had dust bunnies and things that could easily crash. I felt frazzled and on edge. Does that sound familiar? Playtime is a dance between creativity. Let them wander and find their thing and direct them. Each of our children are so different and it takes time to get it right. And so we really mustn't beat ourselves up about the fact that it just didn't work out this time. They all need, though, a little connection where we work together. A little independent time when they work solely by themselves, figuring things out, trying things, investigating. And they need a director, and that's where we come in. As a director, really important job that we have an overview of what's going on. We can speed things up, we can move in a different direction, all because we're present and intentional. We have an overview of what's going on. We can see it and we can make plans. We need some sort of loose game plan, otherwise we'll never get anything done. But it needs to be loose to fit with what our kids are doing. Maybe they come up with something that they love and we need to stay doing it for a while because they absolutely love it. Maybe something else comes up. We now have to stop and change direction. Maybe we have to go out and pick up a spouse or do something else. I prepared a template to help us map out some ideas for play. It's the new freebie you get when you opt into the Raising Playful Tots notes, and you can get it by going to raisingplayfultots.com/subscribe. I hope you find it useful as a way to try some new activities. I'm new to menu planning. And while I love the regular dishes, I do actually love to find new ones that I can definitely put on the menu for this week. So, for example, the boys had black bean tostadas for lunch the other day. Not something that I would have thought to do for a lunchbox, but it was a menu idea from Mummables that I thought I would try. I've mentioned Mummables before. The only way new things get on the list or get on the menu is if they are written down. Sometimes the same thing happens with play, and starting with a routine of play activities will really help us. And that's what this template does. It really gives us a starting point to get us focusing on some play activities that we can do that we really want to see happen, and we can make it happen, just like those tostadas have become a favourite of the boys now. So we've looked at three areas that we find ourselves in from time to time and a few solutions for better playtimes. We looked at mums with siblings stuck in clubs, and we've got some ideas about how we can make that better. Mums in from work and want a pick it up, do it now activity. The way that we can get that, the types of activities that we can do that to make that time work for us. And the last one we looked at was mums who have never really organised activities, ways that we can actually get going and started with some organised play activities. Well, that's no good if I just gave you some of those types of solutions without actually giving you some play activities to be able to go and do, because you're revving to go now and you've got all of these things in place and you want to be able to try some after-school activities. Well, Pinterest is a really good source for after-school activities. If you go to the search bar and just type in after-school activities, you will find a lot of different activities that you can do there. Also, if you check out boards under that section, not just pins, but if you look at boards, you'll find that there's quite a few boards that you can follow that will give you a wide range of after-school activities. Now, I know Pinterest isn't everybody's thing. It can be really overwhelming, and seeing all of those, you know, happy children doing all of those great activities that look beautiful can sometimes be off-putting, but there are actually some really cool activities that are there, and you already know, because you guys are cool that way, because you listen to the show, that you're the parent in the house, and you decide on what happens, and, you know, what other people do is great, but you know what's best for your child, and your activities will be just great the way that you decide to do them. If you prefer going to one site, then try Educators Spin On It. That's a fantastic website by Amanda and Kim, and they have an after-school linky where they link lots of ideas each week, I think that it is, for after-school activities that people are doing or have done, and you're able to search whole bunches of activities that they've done there. So if you nip on over to the show notes page, you'll be able to see the list of some of them to get you started, and you'll be able to get going on some new play activities and after school activities perhaps for this week. I would love to hear about your experiences with after school activities. What's working and is loved in your home that you can share? Come on over to the show notes at raisingplayfultots.com/158, that's the number 158, and tell us. All the links to what I've been talking about in the show notes are in the show notes, so no need to worry if you're out and about or doing something else. Thank you for being here today and listening to the show. It's not easy carving out the time to listen, and I really do appreciate it. I hope this topic has given you value and information, helped you to continue to raise a playful tot, and given you some ideas that you can immediately put into action and make it work in your family. There's a full archive of shows like this one and not like this one, interviews and ideas over at raisingplayfultots.com/shows. Check them out for specific subjects. See you again next time. You've been listening to Raising Playful Tots, show number 158. Come on over and play next week. Until then, find time for some unplugged play. Join with me each week as we share, learn, and laugh together about making the most of early childhood playtime. Goodbye!